express yourself. Hello, good morning. Good morning, YK Delta and beyond. We were letting that drift off, didn't we? Welcome to another edition of Talk Line. I'm Diane McGachran and...
I'm Peter Ratchett. Good morning.
And we are here ready, willing, and able to take your calls, your emails, any range of points of view. And we're going to start as we like to start with Mr. John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hey.
You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air. Well.
Hi, hello.
Uh-oh.
John, you're loud and clear.
Oh, you can hear me?
Absolutely, yes.
I can hear Dad holler in the background there.
Okay, all right. We'll maybe she's making adjustments
oh,
now.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I can hear you hollering now.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm going to talk in a really slow voice. So that you're
really
low voice.
Nice, finally, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last couple of days are... feeling kind of down up for the rain. You know what I think in positive points? Good for the berries, bad for the humans. Being dressed properly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, been out berry picking. They're getting ripe and the blueberries and stuff. And real nice out there. I want to wish everyone, please, be safe. And when you're out berry picking, if you have going distances, if you can go with... at least two pairs of boots, you know, and they have all the proper gear under, like or lock in case something happens, just to be sure, and a cell phone or some sort of way of communication. So, everyone, please have a good weekend, and you too, Peter and Dan.
Mm-hmm, you too, John.
I don't have much to say. I was going to question about the jealous the meeting, how it went about, nobody called or nothing, so.
Oh.
What?
Oh, you weren't there?
No, I was in Wasilla.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, I was wondering how that, if anyone presented at large candidates, the one I was talking about.
I don't know.
Representations for different units.
Didn't hear about that.
There was a lot of issue.
You're talking about the one in Bethel, right? At the that they held? Okay.
Candidates who run on the individual sites like UConn, you know, the district unit areas, they need to put that at large anyway. So I just wondering how the meeting went and stuff. So, okay, you guys have a good day. I'm glad you got my call and you guys are good receptions. So
you guys will have good calls. Yes.
Everyone, please be safe. Wear your life jacket. Don't drink and drive. And if you're going distances, please, if you couldn't, have somebody along, you know.
Yeah, excellent. Good advice.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
All right,
Dan,
on it, John.
Good
yes.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear
you too.
You.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right, so our next caller comes all the way, I mean, really, from just about as far away as you can get in the United States, Florida, and that's Barb. Welcome to Talk Line, Barb.
Good morning.
Good morning. Come in from the surf.
Hey.
Come in from the beach. You're on the air. Well, Barb, I don't know what's going on. We may have to...
Maybe we got a bad reception.
Oh, there she is.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Barb. Welcome.
Good morning from Orlando.
Yes, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah, I could barely hear you guys. Just wanted to call in and say good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
Yeah, have you gone... Now, is Orlando near the ocean?
Kind of in the middle of Florida.
Oh, so you're not. Oh, wow. Okay.
But we're heading to the beach.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Think about you guys while I'm at the beach. Just wanted to say hi and.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You too.
Yeah. You
day,
too.
I love you guys.
Okay.
Bye. Yep. Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
That's
Don't forget
nice.
To share a hug.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll
bye.
Do. All right, bye.
All right.
So, Florida weighs in, and then we'll have Chivac. Those are our two that, you know, although Barb will be back in Bethel soon.
Yeah, those 2 hours send out some good greetings.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to call in and give some good greetings or gratitude that you have about anything, or maybe there's some topics that you want to make sure lots of people hear about, this is the show to call, and you can call us at 543
KYUK or 543-2985 or 543-2756 and 1-800-995-8954 or email at radio@kyuk.org.
Yeah, so if you email us, we will read your email over the air. You can be anonymous on that as well. So if you're a very shy person, but you always had, oh, I really wish I could call in, or but I'm too shy, you can email and we'll read it on your behalf. Okay.
Yes.
So, well, this morning it looked like it was clearing up. I don't know. Now, do you know what it's supposed to be like this weekend?
No, I really haven't paid attention to the weather reports or forecasts, you know, but people are saying that it'll probably be okay. Yeah. So
I'm having a garage sale tomorrow.
You are?
Yes. And just to, and I've decided that everything will be one of three prices.
Oh.
$1, $3, or $5.
Wow.
Everything.
Cool.
Even things worth $6. Will be five. Will be $5.
All right, that sounds good.
Just to make it easy, people show it to me. Okay, that's a $3 one. Okay, next, you know, go with that.
Wow.
And I live at 63 7th Avenue, but I don't know if I'm supposed to really advertise it. But I am right behind Tundra Center.
Okay, all right.
Yes, and I'll be, and I think mine will start at noon, straight up noon. You can try to be an early bird. I don't know if I'll be there because I'll be running around. But actually, at some point, I will because I'll have everything set up. So, yeah, you can be an early bird, but don't come at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That's too early a bird.
Yeah.
But
so now
that
a lot of the fishing is almost done, you know, people are kind of looking for things to do in the city, you know, and that's one of them. I see a lot of people going to these garage sales or moving sales. And
I love going around on those.
Yeah, Saturday is a good day for that.
And I should clarify that I am not moving.
Okay.
Yeah, just for those of you who might have just took a little moment of joy. Oh, she's leaving finally. No, she's not. She's still here. But after 20 years here, I've accumulated stuff.
You've
been
here 20 years?
Yes.
Wow.
But I spent the first three in Quetzalcoatl.
Uh-huh.
So Quetzalcoatl was kind of my intro, and that's what got me to love the place.
Wow.
Yeah, I love living there.
Now I'm getting you figured out.
Yes.
That's why you are the way you are.
Well, that's okay. That can go many ways, Peter. Okay, the lines are wide open, so now is a great time to call because there's no one else on the line. There's no one else holding, and if you call in, you're sure to get a slot. Okay. So somebody will probably bring us some Tundra Drums messages or the various announcements, because there's probably other stuff going on this weekend.
And then, and yesterday there was, or the last couple of days, there was a summit here in Bethel.
Yeah, tell us about that, the safety.
Oh, yeah, it was a public safety summit, and there was a lot of safety officers there, VPSOs, TPOs, and Bethel Police, you know, a lot of them showed up, and then the Alaska State Troopers were there, and the Commissioner for the State of Alaska, Public Safety Commissioner, was there, and his team, and there was a lot of tribal officer or tribal people. There were people that work in the tribes, and it was a big crowd. Must have been 200-300 people in there. I didn't count, you know, but that's what it was filled up in that cultural center, and I didn't attend the first day. I had some other things going on, you know, but I was there for most of or part of yesterday, and it was a good gathering for me. You know, I learned a lot so from the little time I was there. So, yes.
Yeah. I heard some good comments, because to have all of those representatives in the same room, it was, I think, really a nice start. Renee's on the line, probably with cultural center things to say, but maybe not. She might have come up with something completely different.
She Renee? Does have something, yes. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a couple of good announcements, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Just a reminder that on the August 18th, We will be hosting our second annual Taste of Bethel. And Sarah has been diligently working on a cookbook that we're going to put out with it. We have 18 chefs from all the different wonderfully diverse groups that live in, cultures that live in Bethel, and they're all going to be represented. And I hope they all, anyway. And lots of good food. Mm. So we're really looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, that I think that's going to be wonderful.
And, the tickets, of course, are the tickets are going to be $5 a ticket. And Diane, did you get to come last year?
Oh, I did, and it was fabulous. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So they're $5 tickets. They're tasting tickets. So we're hoping that you'll get like 3 or 4 tickets, and you'll try the different ones. There's stuff from the Philippines, Mexico, Greece, Ireland, Germany, Egypt, all around the Mediterranean. We've got just amazing dishes. So anyway, that's August 18th. It's from 5 to 7. So cash would be more appreciated because we give that straight back to the chefs at the end of the evening. So we will not be able to take credit cards and would prefer not checks, so bring some cash with you. Also on the 18th, just going to put a plug in, the fire department is having their sportsman's sale, and that's going to be happening during the day. You can call over to the fire department. I think it's 543-3121 if you're interested in tables. Mm. Saturday market's coming up. That's going to be on the 25th. Don't forget it. It's just after school starts, so it's a good time to see who's here, who's back in town. And then a final plug is going to be for the Steel Salmon and Raven Auction, which is going to be for September 29th. It's our big, our one and only big event for the Kuskokwim Art Guild. And we've got fabulous artists working on different steel salmon and raven for folks to get. So
A lot.
That's all I've got so far.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah.
That is plenty.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay.
Well, thank you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You too. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. All right. So I've also, so let me read a couple of Tundra Drums announcements, or we can. And I think.
Go ahead. I thought we had a.
Oh, did we?
Caller, but I think.
No.
He might have. He might have to call again. Walt.
Oh, okay.
Hang on.
So we have. Okay, so we'll go ahead and read an announcement. All right. You want to read these, and I'm going to read this. I'll read one of those.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Petra, is this something that I'm to read, or just to get in? This one. Oh, okay, we've got a talk line. Somebody did write in, and this is anonymous. Now, this might be a little bit lengthy, but we have no call, so I'm going to go ahead and read this through. Okay. This is called Food for Thought. There is so much said before this time, and many more will be said after, with concerns that are affecting many in our villages. Not only is it affecting our region, but these have been influencing many worldwide. It makes you wonder what the mindset is that the federal government, the state government, and the city-village government, when in 2010 there was $1.2 billion spent only in Alaska from the effect of alcohol. Oh, okay. The federal government is in trillions of dollars of debt. The state of Alaska is cutting their budget to save money. And here we are spending money on a problem that could be prevented. Only because there are a few people who want to enjoy the fruits of the intoxicant that is not necessarily a need to survive this life. The breakdown of costs went to $673 million in productivity costs, $50 million in traffic crash costs, $217 million in criminal justice and protective services, $237 million in health care, $13 million in public assistance and social services. Now that... What this is Diane, this is the breakdown of what it costs the state of Alaska to have a condition, you know, the condition of alcohol, alcoholism. An estimated 21,000 Alaskans age 12 and older are dependent on alcohol. An estimated 16,900 Alaskan adults experience serious substance abuse disorder. $35 million is spent to provide substance abuse treatment and prevention services. There are more programs and services and money spent just to help the effects of alcohol use, which we can say that the Alaska Alcohol Control Board, with great wisdom, I've just lost my place, agreed to approve the opening of sales in every location. Something to consider aside from many other reasons to pursue alcohol-free villages. 21,000 users may look huge, but it is a small number to the state of Alaska, yet it definitely influences hundreds of thousands of other lives. Our region has sobering centers, treatment centers, substance abuse programs, prevention programs, intervention programs. Policies have been established in many communities to prevent the use of drugs and alcohol. Airport searches have been practiced, etc. Elders have voiced their wisdom. Alcohol is the cheapest form of drug choice. There are two voices that support the use of these intoxicants. One is the seller who wants to make a living. Unfortunately, they will sell because it is a very effective profit maker. Even the tax collector, like the city, can make money by making that available. The other is the user who finds comfort in the use of the intoxicants. I sympathize with those that find comfort in the use of the chemical. The seller sees only the money and, of course, the choice of the user. We can call it pro-choice or an American freedom of choice or free moral agent. But the other who finds comfort in that use, it is a necessity to find relief from some mental and physical discomfort. Mm. Now, okay. Susan, this is Diane. Susan, if you want to call back, you can, and I have a little bit more to read here. But in all reality, we as humans can survive without the chemical. That alcohol, that thing, that mind-altering thing, that thing that is destructive to human body, that thing that has killed many by poisoning, suicide, murder, accidents, drowning, car accidents, freezing, child abuse, family breakups, needs to be removed, and that vodka could very well bring World War III. We know by Hollywood movies, stories of mafias, LA gangs, etc., how they have control over areas, communities, even the police forces. These drug and alcohol dealers have threatened village police officers, even the members of the city council, to the point where they, the dealers, play the role of the untouchables. Those stories exist in our villages. They are not just Hollywood stories, they are real-life stories, and I'm very sure that many can agree with this statement. Every village has the knowledge of who the dealers are. But unfortunately, the law protects these people. Even the state troopers know who these people are, and they can't do anything to these well-known dealers and bootleggers. I'm almost done. Last paragraph. Among many ways to fight this problem is the use of tribal courts. We need aggressive, sober tribal council members. We need aggressive, sober city council members. These entities can work together to help our communities to a more mentally healthy village. Tribal courts are not run by the federal or state laws, but by the tribe itself. Tribal cops are not dictated by federal and state laws, but by the discretion of the tribal council. To close this thought, and it is not final, the greatest weapon we have as believers is prayer. Pray and continue to pray in that one powerful name, the name of Jesus Christ, Guyana.
Wow.
Okay, that was very thoughtful. And I really appreciate the statistics that person brought to their note.
Would be nice to read that maybe like in the Delta
Discovery, like as a editorial.
That's powerful words.
Yep. Very, very nice. Thank you, person anonymous who wrote that. So Grady from the library, but really just across the room, is going to tell us something maybe about the library. Okay, Grady.
Yeah, I am calling. I am calling from the room across from you, and I can see you through the window.
It's even on a telephone.
But I am calling on behalf of the library. Myself, Grady Deaton, and Teresa Quiner. We really like the programs we have there. But this Saturday culminates summer reading raffle we have going on. If you've read books in June and July, or your kids have, and you want to get in on that raffle, we're raffling off bikes, we're raffling off pizza parties, we're raffling off lots and lots of books. It's going to be like a Scholastic book fair, only you don't have to pay with money. You pay with the books that you logged and read in the months of June and July. So bring in your reading logs completed, or if you're a parent who's been promoting reading in your household, please come down to the library today or tomorrow before 3 p.m. to have those books that you had your kids read logged, and each book logged is a chance to win a prize. We have lots of prizes. The prize will be given away in a raffle on tomorrow at 3 p.m. Join us there at the library. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Cool. Good.
You know, that library has really, like, developed itself over time, because they had, like, pie cooking and teaching kids how to make their own little pies, little mini pies. And then they have the reading program. They have a book club. And they have a lot of different activities. It's a real kind of happening place over there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. So our lines are wide open, and we'll give out those numbers again, and then we'll read some Tundra Drums August 3rd
call.
Announcements.
Yes. You call. The numbers you can call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 800-995-8954, or email at radio@kyuk.org. We have a few announcements we like to read over the air. We got one: back to school revival at UPC Church starting August 18th through the 12th. UPC will have different speakers each night, and Wednesday, Friday, there will be different activities for youth ages 12 to 19. For more info, you can call Lauren Bradbury, 543-3246. And also, there is an annual Orthodox conference in Kuiktluk, August 17th, 18th, and 19th. The theme verse is taken from Luke 22:32. Bishop David of Alaska will be present. Everyone is invited. And another one, there will be 4 city council seats up for Bethel's election. Declaration of candidacy packets will become available Tuesday, July 31st, and can be printed from the city's website or picked up from the city clerk's office. Candidates can submit paperwork from August 5 to August 20th. Okay, maybe we've got time for another one. The 4-Acre Group presents the economic impact, a discussion on the latest research on the economic impact of Alaska's nonprofit sector. Free limited seating and subway to first 30 participants, August 9th, 2018, 12 to 1 p.m. at the Yupit Pitsakayagat Cultural Center. Still no call. Our lines are wide open. Feel free to call. We'd love to hear from you and share what you got on your mind going on today.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's usually a bunch of announcements for activities going on during the weekend, which makes Bethel an exciting place to be. Last weekend we had call after call announcing a bunch of activities over the weekend, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we did have, last week, Mark Begich called into Talkline to talk about his candidacy a little bit, also to announce that he was coming here on July 31st, which was Tuesday, at 6:30 at the VFW. And he did come, and he met with constituents or people who may were thinking about who to vote for governor. And people did. There was a nice turnout, for one, and he heard a lot about people's concerns about Donlin. They asked a lot of questions of him, and anyway, I can say more about that, but we got a caller, Susan. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Susan.
Hi, good morning.
Okay.
Happy Friday.
Yes.
Happy Friday. You're with us.
I'm out of KYUK range because I'm in Bethel. I'm in Anchorage, but I'll be back
soon.
I was hoping that people could explain, either on the news or in the gap between calls on Talkline, how the election works with the primary. You know how they do the primary elections?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they have the separate parties. and who's going to run in the real elections, because I know there's been lawsuit in the past and this and that about people not understanding through the Yupik English translations what mm-hmm. they're voting on or what issues they're voting on or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So if Diane or someone during the gaps or the news department do a story on it, I think that would really help.
Mm. Right. So the primary elections are,
yeah.
which...
Are you still there?
Yes, yeah. yes. I don't know why.
Also, to add to the confusion, independent party, even incumbents like Mr. Walker and Malott, they have to do a signature thing to be running. The petition thing being passed around in Anchorage, so I'm grabbing some forms and I'm going to bring them over to Bethel.
Okay.
And they're due mid-August, so I'm just going to do what I can this following week so people can sign. It doesn't obligate them to vote for them. It doesn't end their right to vote at the primary or anything like that. It's just so that they can also be running, because regardless of who you vote for, people need a chance to vote for all the candidates that are in their parties, you know, come election time. So I'll be bringing those back, and if anybody wants me to get signatures at an event or anything, because I'm just going to do it for 1 week because they're due mid-August, they can give me a call, leave a message on my landline. It's in the phone book under Susan Taylor, 543-4368. And it doesn't obligate you to vote for that person, so I'm not kind of for campaigning. I'm just saying that's how it works for incumbent independent party people. They're not in the primary election.
Okay.
So it's a learning curve for me, too. So mm-hmm. I'll bring those out with an explanation, and people can call me if they want to sign them.
Okay.
But I'll be at... I don't know, Bingo, YK, different sites, stores to get signatures also.
Mm, okay, thank you.
I can't hear you anymore, so bad connection,
no.
So I'm going to let you go.
Okay, thank you, Susan.
Maybe there's something wrong with that mic or that line number four, speaker number four.
Oh, my speaker?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it seemed like...
Or her connection on her end was not so good. Okay.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
Okay.
Okay, our lines are open. This is very unusual when our lines are this open. Because usually... I mean, we could
maybe.
Sit back and take a little vacation here
course,
on this
yeah.
particular Friday. But
yeah.
Now, okay. You know something I think is really interesting is Quinnahawk. You know, there was that story with KYUK about the 60,000 artifacts arriving
yes.
in Quinnahawk in time for their museum opening.
Wow.
Quinnahawk's going to have a museum. It's from that site that they're trying to excavate before the erosion of the coast in that area takes away
yes.
completely everything. But
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the photos of some of the stuff.
Some.
Oh, my gosh. It's,
even at ADN, yeah.
It's spectacular, yeah. So you can go to KYUK's website and see that story. They have a couple of photos there, too, of some masks from hundreds of years ago. All right, so we have KC in
Hello.
Bethel. Good morning, KC. Welcome to Talkline.
Anybody there?
Yes.
We can hear you, KC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I think you're having a little some technical issues, but I'll... I'm calling in with another announcement about our sportsman's sale that we're going to have at the fire department on Saturday, August 18th, and which will run from to the public. It'll be open from 10 to probably about 3 o'clock. It's like our fourth or fifth annual event, and just got off the phone with... the Sportsman's Club, Kevin over at the Sportsman's Club, they're going to be there. And once again, as they did last year, they donated an annual membership to their shooting range and their club. And so that's one of the things. We usually do a little raffle and have stuff available. Hopefully Cabela's will come through with some of their fishing poles like they have in the past, but that's not... a definite yet, but we'll have some other items. But anyway, and then lots of good food that we sell, I think Search and Rescue is going to be there, and some other vendors. Maybe next week I'll have a little better, more information on who's all going to be there. And if anybody that would like to get a table that has camping, safety, hunting equipment type stuff that they would like to sell, they should call the fire department at 2131, or they can call me at 545-4415.
Hmm.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not. Oh, okay. Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I think that's it.
Okay. I don't know if people can hear me.
Oh. Oh, I don't know.
And let me tell you, that could probably be a gift.
Yeah, Casey, are you still on there?
I'm here.
Yeah,
can
you
hear
Diane?
Me? Can you hear me, Casey?
I can just hear you.
Oh, barely? Hello?
I could.
Oh, you can't now?
No, I can't.
Okay. All right.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
Well, gee whiz. Maybe that long email I read didn't come through. Ruh-roh.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're worth it to try another mic, you think?
Yes. Petra, should I try a different mic? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch mics. Here I go.
Okay.
Yes, I, while she's doing that, I'll read another email over Thunderdrum.
Sample home-cooked authentic dishes from around the nation and world made by local cooks at the second annual Taste of Bethel, Saturday, August 18th at 5 p.m. Tasting tickets are $5 each, and all proceeds will go to the chefs.
Okay.
And YRDFA, Yukon River Fishery in-season teleconference happens every Tuesday at 1 p.m. You may participate by calling 1-800-315-6338, passcode 98566, pound.
Okay.
Okay.
So, anyway, I hope we'll test with this next caller. Jeff okay. Sanders from Bethel. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to Talk Line.
Morning, Diane.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Morning. Yeah, excellent.
Okay.
I've got one of Bethel's last landlines, and
it's an artifact.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar to my cell phone. There was two young women one time that saw me using it and referred to it as a rotary dial cell phone.
A what?
Oh.
A road?
Dial cell
phone. Rotary.
A rotary.
Yeah.
I think they were commenting on the fact that it wouldn't do anything other than take calls and make calls, and it was antiquated. It's a flip phone.
Wow.
Oh, the flip phone.
Original.
Oh, that's very old.
Yeah.
Old timer.
You're probably wondering what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
And I will, because I know you try and limit time on calls. I wanted to talk about Senator, the other one that's not Murkowski.
Sullivan?
Yeah, Senator okay. Sullivan. Dan
uh-huh.
Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
And his efforts to modify the Ninth Circuit, which seems to be... his thrust seems to be to get California out of it. And the assumption is they're too liberal for Alaskan politics. And I don't go with that assumption. And I would like to go back in history and tell you about a decision that was made by the Ninth Circuit that I thought was extremely beneficial to all of us living in this region. And that was during the time right after Magnuson-Stevens was passed, which I'm not criticizing. I think it's excellent legislation, and it's benefited all of us. But in the short run, it didn't. It was very destructive to Alaskan fishing interests. Mm. In the short run, before some adaptations were made to the law, what it did was it took the whole processing, catching infrastructure of the Japanese high seas gillnet fishery, and it put it in an area called the Donut Hole, which was in between the expanded Russian 200-mile limit and the expanded United States 200-mile limit, and ours was quite quite substantive because we could go on 200 miles on both sides of the Aleutian chain. You know, so a small landmass generated a huge ocean authority. So what had happened is it put all that catching capability into a small area that they refer to the donut hole. That seems to get used all over the place. We like to call a lot of things donut holes. And what it did was it really magnified the impact on Western Alaskan king salmon stocks. And it probably, although nobody seemed to be saying much about it, magnified the impact on chum salmon, red salmon stock, coho salmon stocks as well. Maybe not coho salmon so much, but the other two species that, you know, you'd be suspect, they were really clobbering those stocks too. And as an example of a study done by extensively peer-reviewed study done by a scientist named Major, when he calculated in for the first time the dropout rate, or the fish that fall out of these nets dead and aren't counted as harvest, was like for 1981, it was 1.3 million Chinook salmon that primarily returned to Nushagak, Kuskokwim, and Yukon.
Whoa.
There were also some Russian fish, too. But when you think about the amount of energy that goes into trying to curtail the pelagic drag fleet that targets the Sirip pollock, when their numbers are down to, say, 15 to 30,000 a year, and you compare that to a 1.3 million impact, something needed to be done, and nobody was doing anything about it. Congress wouldn't touch it. The State Department really didn't do anything about it. It was two Western Alaskans, the late Harold Sparks and the attorney Donald Mitchell, that went to that Ninth Circuit and got an administrative law judge to pull that fisheries marine mammal permit, in that this fishery harvested, besides our fish, it harvested whales, porpoises, seals, birds. It was a very indiscriminate destructor of wildlife. And they needed this permit in order to fish. And these two Western Alaskans were able to prevail on a judge, maybe he was from California, I don't know, he was an administrative law judge from the Ninth Circuit, and he took away their marine mammals permit. So that in that single action, which I remember Don Mitchell describing as legal mischief, in that single action, they were able to do a go-around of all the politics that were destroying us, and they eliminated that fishery in one full sweep. They were swept off the ocean, no longer to exist, no longer fishing, no longer impacting our salmon stocks. And my point, I know it took a long time to make it, and I know also that, you know, I have another thought, and that is that I wanted to mention these two men because a lot of the things we benefit from in our lives, we're standing on other people's shoulders that came before us and did things for us. And these guys certainly should be recognized. But my thesis, basically, that I like the way the Ninth Circuit's organized or disorganized. I think it brings favorable justice to us in rural Alaska.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. That was a good little summary, a little bit of history, too. Thank you for that.
I think a lot of our history is recent and yet misunderstood, forgotten, and not really talked about. And I'd go back and reiterate my point. I think that a lot of the things we enjoy, especially in our resources, in our fisheries, et cetera, we're standing on other people's shoulders that came before us and advocated for us and got things done for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
we have a new generation of people that I hope want to do the same things and are productive about doing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we should forget the people that got us to where we're at.
True. Yeah, thank you, Jeff. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you got a little bit extra time today, but that's because we have a slow call day. But we do have another caller that we're going to go to, so have a great afternoon.
Good morning. Have good, a good weekend.
Good thank morning. You. All right. Next, we have Willie Keppel up from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning. How are you folks this morning?
Hey, good morning, Willie.
Good, good.
Hey, I'm doing something I haven't done in years, and I'm writing a newspaper article.
Really? And what's it on?
Well, my favorite subject, Donnelly.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do, the article's a long ways from finished, but I want to use the people out here as a sounding board, because I know there's a lot of things that needs to go in into all this, and I'm just going to read kind of what I have, and it's, you know, how you draft something, and then you stop, you think about it for a day, you turn around, redraft it again, and it's a draft version.
Great.
But it'll give you the pretty basic idea where I'm headed, because right now we have four candidates that have all declared, yes, we're in favor of Donlin.
Four governor candidates, right? Yeah, just to be clear.
Governor candidates.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
And maybe Begich will come around to this. I don't know. I sent questions in to a friend that hand-walked him over to VFW for Senator Begich. And he told my buddy, yeah, I'll get back to you on email on it. So, you know, there's, you know, the sun comes up again tomorrow. Maybe there's hope tomorrow, too. Who knows, you know?
All right.
So anyway, here it goes. I'm going to read this. And everybody bear in mind that I am looking for a candidate that will come out and do the right thing.
Okay.
Okay? Republican that I am.
All right. Good.
All right.
Go.
Here we go. Have you ever wondered why those of us are looked at as pariahs that oppose Donald and mine? My political party of choice, the Republican Party, thoroughly despises any dissent from the political boss's command decisions for the rape, pillage, and plunder of Western Alaska. There comes a time when hard questions are needed to be asked by those that seek high offices, need to be answered. As opposed to Donnelly and Pebble as I am, I accept that Donnelly and mine will probably happen. My goals are to get politicians to answer questions honestly before we have to vote for them. Okay, a large portion of the American public believes Russia is influencing American elections and want legal consequences applied to alleged guilty parties. Is that election meddling? Okay, the first question. How is Barrick Gold, a Canadian company, allowed to contribute over $1 million to Stand for Alaska, which is in direct opposition for Stand for Salmon, which is on a ballot initiative? How can that not be foreign meddling in an Alaska election? When the foreign corporation sets up an LLC, a limited liability corporation, in Alaska, isn't that a direct way of protecting the parent corporation from damages and lawsuit? How is it that my candidate of choice, Dunleavy, has a slogan, Stand Tall for Alaska, boldly printed on the campaign posters I received in the mail yesterday, not be construed as an elementary attempt for disguise on Stand for Alaska? Come on, Putin, Canadian mining companies, I'm not wanting to be in bed with either of them. Excuse me. Have you ever wondered how it can be possible that elected officials have never had a public discussion on our mining laws? Stop and wonder why the people of Montana, not once, but twice, put an initiative on the ballot that bans the use of cyanide. Their politicians pitched the first initiative, which passed out at the first possible moment when it hit the 2-year mark. Montanans voted it in again, and it stood for over a decade. And it has stood for over a decade. Hang on, I got to scroll.
Oh, you got to scroll. You have about a minute to go.
It stood for over a decade now. Are Alaskans so financially poor that we need to be beaten with the same mine and industry stick that they used on Montanans? Can Alaskans expect our leaders to put obvious protections into place before they allow permitting? Why is it that all four of the candidates with decades of experience each haven't figured out that what we have here is exactly what the world sees as Alaska, the fantastic, the irreplaceable? Only God can guarantee there won't be a Teutonic plate shift, a dam failure, or that the mine conclaves will capture all the heavy metals that will travel wherever the wind blows, then and the moisture brings them to the ground.
Mm.
You get a chance, if you get a chance, ask them why this is supposed goodwill and intentions for the YK people, Delta people, don't they build a railroad line to Donlin?
Okay.
They could ship everything we need here for a whole lot cheaper than bargain. They could haul mine and ore to the Healy coal mine, use their excavation pits for tailing. They wouldn't need to spend hundreds, if not billions of dollars to build a gas line to Donlin.
Okay, now, Willie, you're going to have to really button it up here.
Getting there, Diane. Because they already have a $30 million coal-burning plant that produces electricity. This creates two huge independent job markets, two different tax bases, and most importantly, doesn't create an imminent potential disaster to the Kuskokwim River and the Bering Sea. Yeah, and that pretty well sums up what I have.
Okay.
But we're not getting politicians to answer the questions.
Okay.
You know?
Right, right.
And that's where I'm at. And I'd like to hear the other things, because I got some questions for Calista, too.
Okay.
I don't, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go right now, because other people may call in and give feedback to what they heard. But thank you for reading that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So we're going to go right to Roy from Akiak. Hello, Roy. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, morning, Roy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Good to hear a Republican make a good statement in reference to, I definitely oppose mining development, but like he said, it may happen anyway, and like... Calista, the leadership haven't had that agreement already in paper. Looks like they cannot break, seems to me, an agreement already done.
Right, right. They already signed with Donlin and Barrick Mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing about the things that he mentioned about asking hard questions. Sometimes I really think and feel the news media that's been given the chance to make some public output about what's happening in our region and what's happening in our state and our nation. Sometimes I really think and feel that there's not enough time being spent on major issues, like what the previous caller mentioned, and I really do think, like even Facebook issues that are going on, the Twitter issues that are going on, the misinformation, disinformation that really misled lots of people last election cycle, really created a really disconnected person in the commander-in-chief position. That's my thinking, heavy duty. It's causing chaos to me, to my thinking, that hardly seem like anybody talks about or even expresses, like it's a big fear in reference to facing issues that are impacting this. It's like trying to hype what is happening in the news media issues. There are those that attempt to expose it, but they seem to be I think you know quite well about it, Diane. Like what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disappointing, but you can't allow. And it's kind of like the global corporate, the very rich, putting their teamwork together to create that. And it's very well organized. It's got power structure, infrastructure already there to create even more chaos. And we got foreign powers that are really targeting the infrastructure of our country and brainwashing. And the only best protection that we got as the people, the electorate, the people that vote, it is our mind, our thinking process need to really build and develop that critical thinking ability to ask questions about, is this news that I'm hearing really for real?
Yeah.
Or is it somebody's, it's kind of like poisoning our system around here, especially with this introduction of new technology. The Facebook and the Twitter. It's
the
scary,
Twitter.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I just had to express very thankful about those previous callers. I express my gratitude about that. So thank you for allowing me to get this out of my chest. The other ones that I really wanted to bring in was this immigration issue, and that is kind of connected towards our own native history with the kids being taken away from, and it's kind of like it's not really been talked about. I believe that subject, the byproduct of it, the impact of it, it's like foreseeing about those people that have PTSD, you know. It's frightening. And it's like they don't really care about what's happening. But anyway, have a good day and thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. We have an email. Petra, are you going to read the email? Okay, great.
I'm watching my Uncle Peter here. He's yawning and he's making me yawn too. So this email message is from Merrill Lake. Suicide is not the answer. We can all help prevent suicide. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline provides 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress, prevention and crisis resources for you or your loved ones, and best practices for professionals. The number is 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, thank you for that email and reminder of places that people can call if they're struggling or having thoughts of suicide. I'm also going to look up the emergency 24-hour crisis line that YK runs, YK Behavioral Health has, and I will get that phone number and also post that.
Okay.
So thank you. So we have Fritz Charles from Bethel. Good morning, Fritz. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. How are you guys doing, Diane?
Hey, good morning, David. Fritz. Yeah,
we are good.
Fine.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was at that Senator Biggage's meet and greet. And unfortunately, he is for Donlin Gold.
Yes.
He wants to you know, make a profit out of it under the state of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you I had a conspiracy theory about Donlin Gold, why he's pushing for it and not Pebble Mine.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, my conspiracy theory is, Vizsla Bays has brought in almost $40 million, and some of that chunk of change is going to the state. So that's a renewable resource income for the state of Alaska.
You mean in salmon?
In salmon.
Uh-huh.
And to top it off, it's also...
Oh, I see.
A high seas fisheries is also a really huge income tax for the high seas fisheries also, which there's always over 1,500 boats out there in the Bering Sea
okay. a day.
So my conspiracy theory is we don't have nothing out here to offer the state of Alaska. Where 95% of the people out here are on welfare and running off of the state and the federal money. So in return, they will open Donlin Gold.
You know, that's a good point, that there is the money brought in from commercial fishing industry in Bristol Bay, and on the Kuskokwim River, almost all the fishing is subsistence. And mm-hmm. so they would, you know, I know that that sounds, you say it like a conspiracy theory, but actually there's, you know, some good connections to that.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Well, the lawmakers will put it that way. I'm not a lawmaker, and, you know, it's my conspiracy theory, and which it might be true, maybe 75% of it, maybe, but.
Well,
my proof, you know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's
the people in Western culture, they want to see it in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But our people, our generation, you know, we will fight like crazy to oppose it. But unfortunately, Donlin Gold will probably prevail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm against it myself. Due to the fact the salmon and the habitat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's my take on the election coming up with Mark Begich. But, you know, the PFD issue with Walker is, you know, that's got to end. You know, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And all the legislatures and all the congressmen Well, the legislatures and the representatives, they're in it also, especially Lyman Hoffman. He's for getting himself paid. He's thinking about himself and not for the Delta. So we need to replace him. And there was a newspaper article that was brought out by Robert J. Hoffman that he supports Donlin Gold. Maybe he should quit subsistence hunting and fishing today if he's going to do that.
Okay.
You know? And then there was another thing, all that put aside, there was ABCP hosted a public safety summit, which was very, very, very great, and a lot of information was spoken, and there was few younger generations that attended that meeting or the summit, and hopefully people out in the tribes will be eager to step forward and start taking action on what was discussed these past 2 days before AFN starts and the AVCP regional conference comes up in the beginning of October. So it was a great, great event these last 2 days. Good job to everybody that attended the meeting. I myself attended the meeting without getting paid. I volunteered my time. So it was a great event overall. But thank you, guys.
Kuyana Fritz, yes.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you, Fritz. Okay, next we have Mary from Bethel. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Interesting, like always, listening to the comments and your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who who the guys that were pariahs for opposing Donlin. And we may be, but we are good pariahs, I'll say. And like my auntie Tanera always says, like when we have to share a used tissue, as native people, we only have good germs. Anyway, it's really interesting to listen to the campaign speeches from different people, and there'll be more to come. Like, it was really interesting when Nick Begich was here, and of course, we all didn't get to ask all the questions we wanted because I have to catch the plane, I have to catch the plane. Anyway, and one thing that I always watch out for is slippages of tongues. And for a while, I couldn't follow. He supports Pebble. He doesn't support Donald, and then he mixes the two things up. And so that's one thing we have to watch out for. We also have to watch, remember the history of the campaigners from their previous positions, in whatever position they were in, and what they'd accomplished and what they didn't, and how they blame others for failures of everything. That's something to watch out for. I want to hang up and listen to the interesting callers, other callers.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to jump right into our next caller, Tim from Bethel. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Beautiful morning out there.
Oh, yes, it is.
God's given day.
Yeah.
Great.
I just have a couple of things. And I'd like to thank Jeff Sanders for his take on the donut hole fishery that happens out there. And but there's something that we had an incredible opportunity within this past year was the reauthorization of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. And I believe Don Young had already gone through the process of securing the votes necessary to keep or to move forward. But there was this opportunity that existed north of the Northern Bering Sea Research Area line. You know, for years they were prohibited from fishing north of that line. And during the development or the reauthorization process, the Western Alaska communities had an incredible opportunity to develop that fishery for their economic benefit. But unfortunately, there was only one hearing held in Alaska on the Senate side, and was held in Soldotna about a year ago. The remainder of the hearings were held in Washington and Oregon. But that's an opportunity that has gone and disappeared, and you know, we sure would like to see somebody keep an eye in D.C. to, you know, give us at least the opportunity to weigh in on some of this legislation that's important to our fisheries and economies and to our way of life in the villages. But in any case, the other thing I'd like to bring up, kind of related to that, is the need to get the native vote out. We historically had very low numbers. You know, there are some communities that have done very well in getting their people out to vote. You know, we need to do a better job at it, get our young people registered to vote, you know, helping people to get to the voting polls, educate people on the issues that are on the ballot, and make our vote known across the Delta. We have a very good voter base here.
That's right. Mm.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Bye.
Yes. So we have voting in October, I think, for local, like city council, and then November is the governor, and then there's a ballot measure. Stand for Salmon ballot measure is there in the November ballot. Okay, lines are wide open, and you have about 25 minutes.
Yes, so, time moves. So
yeah, so we're.
If you'd like to join in, you know, please do call.
Yep.
543-KYUK.
Okay,
we have Yvonne Waska. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning. I see Dolan Gold buttering up my people and doing all them good positive stuff. They ain't fooling me.
What
1,500 jobs that come from the pie. Who's going to get them?
The 1,500.
They stated last week on it. Mm-hmm. Probably outsiders that are qualified.
Is that 1,500 statewide, Alaska statewide jobs?
1,500 jobs over there at Dolan. Is that the projected job opening?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's come from the pie from the 56 villages.
I'm not sure if those jobs are just YK Delta or if those are statewide. I have to read the. I haven't had a chance to read the Donlin Gold's estimates.
Yeah, it's like that new hospital that tells me a lot. I don't hardly see Native working over there. I don't see my people hardly over there. Who are they fooling? Mm. But anyway, in closing. I challenge Darlin, if that mine's open up, I want to put food banks in each of the villages on the Kuskokwim. Because that I know that dam's going to break. They're going to have a cyanide accident. They're putting our food source in jeopardy. And there's proof right there when you go out and fish. You see how many people are trying to get their salmon for the long winter months and food for right now. And I challenge the jealous the team. Quit sitting on their big beaches over there on their, you know what. Why don't they go out on a river with a boat and see how rural Alaska is? They forget how we live. Our subsistence is at risk here. Good morning.
Okay,
good morning. So I think the estimates for jobs with Donlin, I believe the estimates are statewide. They're saying statewide, so applicants can come from the state. And I don't know yet if there's a priority given to Calista shareholders for some of these jobs. I believe most of the jobs will be for men, so I'm not sure about the job development in terms of women. Mm-hmm. So
good question.
Anyway, these are I'm gonna get on this, Peter.
Yeah.
I just want to know more. All right, we have an email that Petra's gonna read. Go ahead, Petra.
This email is from John Williams, marijuana sales in Bethel. An Anchorage marijuana store has been shut down after the owner failed to pay more than $169,000 in taxes and properly dispose of usable marijuana waste. Wondering if that is the same one applying to open a store in Bethel soon. Location does not change the habit of the one possessing that habit. Money lovers of the city council will sacrifice the livelihood of its surrounding villages in order support drugs and alcohol vices in its community for the sake of staying afloat.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So it looks like about 40% of the jobs available will be shareholder hire. And then on Donlin Gold's estimate, they have, they list these as Alaska resident.
Okay.
So not all the jobs will be earmarked for the YK Delta.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be openings for other people in Alaska. Another email that we have, another email that Petra's going to read.
This email is from Merrill Lake. Hello to all who stand for salmon. Years back, we had the 50-plus tribes unify to oppose something that would have devastated Alaska everywhere. House Bill 77, otherwise known as the Silencing Alaskans Act. This would have fast-tracked the permitting process by removing the public commenting period. Thanks to the unified efforts of the 50-plus tribes, we destroyed the opportunity for this bill to pass. The very same effort absolutely needs to happen in order to preserve our lifeline, the Kuskokwim River. There are a lot of things that are uncertain in the future, but we must make sure one thing is certain. The longevity of life thriving in our sacred Kuskokwim River. If we all work in cohesion, we can ensure that nothing can harm our sacred way of life. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, Mr. Lake.
Oh, okay. Now, it's interesting because the ballot measure in November, the Stand for Salmon ballot measure, which is to increase protections for all rivers and streams that are salmon habitat, that got on the ballot because 45,000 Alaskans signed to have it on the ballot so that people could at least vote for it. Now, it's currently in some litigation. The Alaska government is trying to pull it from the ballot, and so the court will be coming with a final decision soon. But the fact remains that 45,000 people did sign, which was more than was needed to get a ballot measure on, and at least it should probably stay on so that people can at least vote. So there we go. So we have another caller, Howard from Bethel. Good morning, Howard. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. You know, this thing about the drugstore?
Yeah.
It was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen because there was just news on the East Coast where they were growing pot legally now in these old factories now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to get all over the world, or as a way of making money there, just like liquor in Bethel. You know, there's some way, somehow, they gotta make some kind of money to pay for these things that we're all enjoying, you know, and living with, you know. There's not enough oil in the world to keep us living high no more, you know. Mm-hmm. Gotta pay somehow. So it's gotta be done one way or another. Because, you know, unless you got enough people that's gonna pay for taxes and will go to church, and church will give enough money to the people to have a warm house and have food, and even the fish, you know. There's going to be some kind of danger, and that is that one dominant, you know. People can't eat gold, you know. So that's why I think that you know, it's against everything, but for people to struggle with, you know, it's hard to realize that we can't live on welfare, but it is hard to make a decision between within yourself to so I think the best way to do that is that people would vote for and have the will to get up and vote to make these things change, you know. So I know it's hard, but and a lot of people are mad because of there is going to be a dope store in Bethel, but that's revenue, you know. So that's all I want to say, and I hope you guys have a good weekend.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay. Yeah, Kuyana, Howard, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good morning.
Our lines appear wide open again. Okay, yeah, so please feel free to call. We have just a little bit more time, maybe less than 15 minutes time yet. Mm-hmm. So you have time to make a call if you'd like. 543-KYUK, 543-2756, 8954. I had memorized a minute ago. Yes, and then or email at radio@kyuk.org.
And there's going to be Tundra Fest.
Mm,
Tundra wow. Jest. Tundra Fest.
Fest. Yeah.
Will happen in Chivac on August 10 through 13.
Wow.
August 10 through 13. Yeah. So we have Salmonberry Festival. I think they just had that in Napakiak?
Nunup.
Yes. Nunup, yeah, that's right. Nunup. And then there's Blackberry mm-hmm. Festival in Tuksuk. Yeah. And now we have Tundra Festival in Chivac,
yes.
August 10 to 13.
Exciting.
And in Aniak, there's Silver Salmon Derby. Ah, the Silver Salmon Derby. It
same
will be
weekend,
in
maybe,
Aniak.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, it must be good. Soon. All month. All month of August. And then for adults and children till the 18th.
Oh, that's
so
Salmon Derby, yeah.
It's all month, but only till the 18th. Oh, well, now she's erasing it. Okay, so then Atmauthluk has a fest, the Atmau Fest, on August 10 to 11. Oh, so we got these summer festivals. That's so cool.
Yeah, cool. Yes.
That's really fun in a community. Okay, good. All right, thank you for those, Petra.
And then to read another Tundra Drum message, you know, that lunch is still available free to all children 18 years of age and under at the Bethel 4-H, June 4th through August 10th, so about another week maybe, Monday through Friday from 12:15 to 12:45, and at the Owl Park from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Good. So we have Rhonda calling from Bethel. Good morning, Rhonda. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. This
yes.
is Rhonda from 4-H. Thank you, Peter, so
yes.
much for announcing our food programs. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm calling this morning because next Friday on the 10th, we're going to have, that's the last day of our summer camp, but we are also going to be enrolling everyone for the next 4-H program year. So mm-hmm. anyone who is kindergarten or older, so K through 12th grade, any youth can be a member of 4-H. And what that does is then you can come to the after-school programs, be a part of any teen events that we have here at the clubhouse or at the pool or at the library. It gets you in and access to the programming. And then if any adults would like to be a part of 4-H, we would love to have some more adult volunteers to help us out with programs and projects, and you can come by until 7 o'clock on Friday the 10th. We are also working with Audicon. They are coming out to do free hearing screenings for any kids on that day.
Hmm.
They're going to be at another site in Bethel, and I can't remember which, but that's through YK. And then they will be here at the 4-H Clubhouse for our kids that are attending camp, but if you have kids and would like them to be screened, you're welcome to come by.
Wow.
And then I have one more thing to, you know, help promote and put a little fire under some adults, spur them on to becoming 4-H leaders. This morning we came to work to vandalism in and around the clubhouse, the teen center here.
Oh, no.
So, I just want to put out to our community that your tax dollars go to the city, and the city is our partner in making sure that the 4-H programming works and happens. So even the kids, I tell the kids, they've paid for this, because every time they go to the store and pay their sales tax, that programming money, it comes back to us. So now what we have is we have archery targets that have been destroyed, and we have to replace them. We have, you know, spray paint and things and inappropriate symbols on the parks and everything that on this playground that the kids come to. And I don't really care who did it. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that there's a better way to live life and to do things, mm-hmm. and that 4-H is a great way to learn those things.
Yes.
So as a teen, as an adult, as a young adult, whatever age, if you want to help us do something better, come and talk to us. And Friday the 10th is going to be the best day to do that. But any other time, too, you're welcome to come by and talk to me or any of the staff, and we can find out exactly what your niche is and how you can help.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah.
That's hard to come to work and see that, I'm sure.
It's hard, too, and especially because we're in the business that we are in, it feels almost personal.
Of course. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I just, you know, hope that it encourages some people that, you know, you can come do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
right.
Rhonda.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have Renee calling back for part two.
Hi, it's Renee. I accidentally hung up.
Oh. Well, you're back.
Okay, I'm back. Hey, I have something not so happy to announce. For those people in the Delta who knew Joel Brenneman, who was the art teacher, who I came and replaced her, and she lived out here for years, was very active in the Bethel Council on the Arts and the arts world, and her husband was George Brenneman, who was a doctor at YK. Anyway, she passed away, and I just wanted to get that, let everybody know who might have known Joel when she lived out here in the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And very sad. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman, and of course, she was very artistic, and I love that. So anyway, I'm just sharing that with folks that Jules passed. And then for anyone that knew Tim Wusterman, he's passed away, and I'm so sorry for his family there and their sorrow. And I just wanted to...
Anything
you can do for Tim and Tom, who's the head of the family now, that would be great.
Where do they live?
Tom, they live Bethel.
Uh-huh.
Tim worked for the city for years at the water plant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so a heartfelt sympathy going out to the Wusterman family.
Thank you. Sorry to
right.
hear that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Okay.
All right.
Our lines are open, and we have about 8 minutes left.
Okay.
That's 1.5 callers. Five
yeah.
plus. But you should, our lines are wide. It's easy to call in right now, so go ahead and do that. A lot of times people, they get backed up, they try calling, the lines ring, and that usually means that the lines are already busy, actually. But now you can call directly in, and you will get through, actually. Okay, so... Were you going to read an announcement? Or?
Yes, I could. Yes, we.
Oh.
Bethel ABCP Head Start is accepting enrollment for the 2018 and 19 school year for your child. If between 3 to 5 years old, they may be eligible. For any questions, you can call 543-7414.
Okay, mm-hmm. good. Yeah, Head Start is a... It's a wonderful program, and all over the United States, and it's very helpful to young children's development, especially their brain
school
development.
School is starting to opening for school year this year.
People are going to be trickling back, mm-hmm. teachers, and...
The teachers ought to be in by now, right?
Yeah,
Don't they take some kind of a...
Some training.
Yeah. With a training
teacher
before
training,
they start, you know. That's
right.
That's a good way to do it, you know, is to, before they can teach in our area, for them to, you know, just get a little bit of instruction on how our life is out here.
Right, and get a good orientation to things.
Mm-hmm.
We had a George Kilbuck, and then he disappeared. he hung up. Okay. Well,
you know what?
He was testing. Was she right? Could I really call in directly? And the answer was yes. And so now he's gone.
Yes.
I think the bus company, there's going to be a different busing situation with LKSD. So I don't know how they're going to work that out. Yeah, I think so. LKSD is going to have their own buses and run it themselves and not have a contract. But I don't know how the start of the year is going to go as far as getting kids to school. And I think they probably have a plan for that.
Yeah. Yesterday during that public safety summit, I seen a lot of young folks, young people from around the villages that came in to participate with that. That was really, really good to see.
Stood out for you during those 2 days? Like, what did you kind of hear a lot about?
Well, some people had different opinions about it, that I talked with, but for me, it was like identifying what is needed out there for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
We first have to identify what's wrong, and then the answers will come about.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, to me, it was a learning from what I heard. I wasn't there all the way through, but those breakout sessions they had, by different units, and then every unit, gave their top three most concerns for their village or their unit.
Oh, that's
and those were very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was like one of them I remember that stood out was keep drugs and alcohol out of our villages.
Mm-hmm.
And then the public safety is a big thing. It's needed, and there was a lot of people that talked about how to help their public safety departments or officers, in their own villages, and to welcome them, make them feel welcome so that they can stay and work in their
village. Well, yeah, because it seems like it's not something that you can just leave to public safety officers or VPOs or troopers. Safety is really a community partnership and collaboration.
That's right.
And sometimes maybe people sit back and go, well, the police are going to handle that. But we all, it's community, really.
Right.
So we have Irma from AVCP. Hi, Irma. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I have some announcements.
Great.
AVCP Resource Center is having an open house this afternoon from 1:30 to 4. Anybody from the public is invited. There's going to be hot dogs, hamburgers, fish, you name it. So we want to invite everyone to come over, have lunch, and see what kind of services we have.
Oh, at the Resource Center.
Where is that at?
We call it the Resource Center now. Uh-huh. It's between Snack Shack and Nicholson's.
Oh,
you can't miss it.
And can you, what is it, what services are provided at the Resource Center?
It's almost like the job center, except it's geared towards villagers, people from the village. In the future, we'll be conducting training on resume writing, interviewing skills, any kind of job-related training. We bring people from the village out here. The Tribal Workforce Development Program offers services for employment purposes, say maybe training.
Okay.
Our vocational rehabilitation program is also housed under the Resource Center.
Okay, thank
There's
you.
There's employment and training and child care services.
Wow, that's a
lot. We'll have booths.
Okay.
That is a resource center. For sure.
ABCP Resource Center.
That sounds exciting.
Thank
good.
You.
That's a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
So come on over.
All right.
That
Thank you.
Good.
So we're gonna. So we're gonna have to wind down.
Yes.
I wanted to say, and you can read this at KYUK's website, that the U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan will be traveling through the YK Delta this weekend and into next week. He kicks off his tour with a community potluck in Chifornik on Saturday. Maybe they'll serve him stink heads. Anyway, Senator Dan Sullivan, so look for notices. He will probably do some kind of meet and greet, maybe, in Bethel. That would be, I would love to go to that.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the end of our show. Have a great weekend, everyone.
And we thank everyone that called in, and especially those that listened in. So have a wonderful weekend. Be safe and be kind to each other.
Express yourself.